Page 1041, and it's Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, beginning at the first verse. Is it page 1041? It is, brilliant. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Dear Father, thank you for this Gospel of Luke and this particular story. Help us, Lord, to learn from it today and to hear what you want to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, by the magic of technology, we have some pictures, I hope. Right, here is a picture. And now this painting, I must really go and take a fresh picture of it sometime, but it's in Waterlooville, which is near where I was a vicar before coming into this new job. This is in St. George's Church in Waterlooville, and you can probably just about see what it is. It's the shopping precinct in the middle of Waterlooville. And standing in the shopping precinct on the left is the lonely figure of Jesus. And this painting has been in the back of the church there in Waterlooville for years, since the 1960s, I think, judging by the shops that are there and the way it's painted. So this is a picture of what church is sometimes like. Where are the Christians? Jesus is rather lonely, isn't he? But actually, on this very spot where Jesus is standing in the painting, just outside Specsavers, is where now Christians from five different churches gather together as a team on Saturdays to offer to pray for people out there on the street. Jesus isn't on his own anymore in Waterlooville. At least he wasn't the last time I was around there. So it seems to me this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in the church at the moment. The Holy Spirit is driving Christians out of their buildings to join Jesus in mission, to make a difference in our communities. I mentioned that my job is to help us become a mission-shaped diocese. This picture of the potter, yeah, that's a biblical picture of God getting to grips with us, the clay. And what we want to see is God shaping us for mission, shaping us for his mission, not our mission. It's his mission fundamentally. We want him to shape us so that we have his heart. Because God in himself has a heart of mission. This is part of God's character, to be outgoing, to want to reach out to his creation. He wants to share his love. He wants to share his life with all people, with the whole of creation. God is a God of mission. And so he calls us to join him in his mission. And we want to be shaped by that mission so that everything we do, all the parts of the Toblerone, are serving God's purposes. God's heart for mission is in them all. This is what we're for. Somebody said this, the church, it's not that the church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission who has a church in the world. This is what we are around for. We are here to serve God and join in with his mission work. It's harvest time at my home church in Eastleigh today. I'm missing the harvest lunch. Never mind. We're thinking about a different kind of harvest this morning, aren't we? Few of us get involved in harvesting corn these days, but in the days before tractors and combine harvesters, the moment that the fields of corn are ready, the farmer has to gather as many people as he possibly can, friends and neighbours and neighbouring farmers and all of those people. He needs to say, can you come and help me bring the harvest in now? Because now is the moment when it needs bringing in. That's how it used to be before the days of tractors and combine harvesters. And you would spend long hours out in the field bringing it all in before it started to rain or whatever, and then having a big party at the end. Now, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is on a journey. He has set out on his final journey to Jerusalem. And as he's on that journey, you can imagine him looking out over the next part of the road, perhaps looking down from a hilltop and seeing where he would be going on that journey, looking at the villages, looking at the towns, or imagining them all out there somewhere on the way. And as he looks out, he sees that there is a plentiful harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He needs everybody he can possibly get to help with the harvest because there is so much still to do before he reaches Jerusalem and gives his life for the transformation of the whole of creation. This is what Jesus sees when he looks out over those towns and villages, a harvest that needs bringing in. I wonder if that's how we see the community around us in this part of the world. Do we look out over Southampton and think, wow, there is a huge harvest to be brought in here? Or do we just think, oh, there's lots of people here, aren't there? Let's just look at this situation we're in at the moment. In Southampton, in Shirley, let's be more specific, in Shirley, the harvest is plentiful. We've got a population of, the statistics say, 17,326. Okay, so how many people belong to this church? Well, we've got an average weekly attendance, if it's correct, of 267 people, including the children. That's about 1.5% of the population. And actually, the diocesan average for attendance in our churches is a bit more than that, 2.1%. But it still leaves us with 17,059 people that need harvesting. Oh, yes, you say, but some of them will be from other churches, and you know, there'll be lots of Baptists, and there'll be lots of Methodists, and so on and so on. Yes, okay, take the point. But there will still be lots and lots and lots of people that we haven't reached that we need to. More helpers are needed, Jesus would say, for this harvest. We need more helpers. It's easy, perhaps, when we have a church with lots of the seats full up, to be a bit complacent and say, we're doing okay, aren't we? We've got quite a good, decent congregation here. But think about the people who aren't here. Think about the thousands who aren't here. That's the way that Jesus looked out over the villages and towns where he hadn't yet had the opportunity to go and tell them about the kingdom of God. So Jesus says he needs all the help he can get. Jesus needs everybody if he's going to reach all people. And at the beginning of chapter 10, it says he sends out, he appoints and sends out 72 people to go ahead of him to every town and village. He needs as many people to help with the harvest as he can possibly get. Now, if you look back to chapter 9, you'll see that Jesus had previously sent out the 12 on a mission journey, doing the same kind of thing. And now, according to Luke in chapter 10, he sends out 70 or 72 people. We're not quite sure which is the correct number here. It's because it's a symbolic number. It doesn't really matter whether it's 7 or 70 or 72. What matters is that this is the kind of number that you would think of as being enough people that if you sent one person to each nation in the world, you'd cover the whole globe. So this is a symbolic number that Luke is using to say this is a preview of the world outreach of the gospel, that the gospel is for every single person in the world. Jesus sending out 70 or 72 people because he wants to reach everywhere. He wants to reach as many people as he possibly can. It's also probably roughly the kind of numbers that Jesus might have had traveling with him. Because if you think about it, he's on his way to Jerusalem for Passover. It's going to be the last time he's going there. He's going to die there. He's encouraging people to go with him. Some would be able to go. Others were not able to go. And if you look at the end of chapter 9, if you've got your Bible open, you'll see that there's some excuses that people give for not going with him. There they are up on the screen. So if you imagine, you know, Jesus has got this crowd of people following him around, and then some of them say, oh, well, I've got to go home and look after my parents or whatever. I've got to go and look after the family. I've got to go and do this, that, and the other. So they all sort of disappear, and he's left with maybe about 70, 72 people, and those are the ones that he sends out to do the harvesting with him. And so, Jesus sends them out. They're not professionals. They're not even the apostles. They are the ordinary followers of Jesus. He sends them out to learn how to do mission on the mission. It's a mission to learn how to do mission. And they go. They go to do this work for him. Jesus tells us, he tells these 72, pray and go. Pray for the Lord to raise up more workers for the harvest, but be ready to go yourself. Be ready to be the answer to your own prayers. Be ready, because there's an urgency about it. There's to be no delay, no hanging around, no packing your bags, none of that. He prays. He says, pray and go. What Jesus wants to see is that we go out to where the people are, not wait for them to come to us, to change from a come and see kind of church to a go and be church. Not come and see, but go and be. Let me show you a diagram that might help you appreciate this. You can see on there is the regular attenders, that slice of the cake. Regular attenders up to once a month, 10%. The fringe of people who come to church occasionally, monthly perhaps, 10%. Then you've got people who no longer come to church, the de-churched, some of which are closed, they're never going to come back for one reason or another, 20%. 20% of them might be persuaded to come back if we were nice to them. And then there's this bit on the left, which is the real challenge. Those who are described as non-churched, I don't really like that phrase, people who we have never really managed to link with as a church. People who've never really had any experience of church. They know it's there, maybe. They maybe been to a funeral or a wedding. But they have actually no contact with church. And there are many generations of people who've not had that kind of contact. This is where Jesus wants us to be. Out amongst the people. A go and be church. We have to go out into the harvest if we're going to bring it in. We can't just sit here and expect the corn to harvest itself. And Jesus says that he's sending them out to be witnesses. They're sent out in pairs together. It's always better to do mission together. But interestingly, you need two people in Jewish situations. You need two people to prove something. You need two witnesses to prove something. So going as two, they're going to be witnesses wherever they go, to the towns and villages. Witnesses to what? Well, Jesus makes it very clear. They're to be witnesses to the kingdom of God. Tell them, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near you. And they're not just to tell people that, they're to demonstrate it as well. There's to be demonstration and proclamation. Go and be witnesses to what is happening through the presence of Jesus. It's the same message of Jesus himself, that the kingdom of God is near. It's a message that is rather difficult to deliver. Jesus is sending them out as lambs amongst wolves. That doesn't sound like a terribly encouraging way to send them out, does it? I'm sending you out to be amongst dangerous animals. Sharing God's love is dangerous in places. It is demanding. It is scary. It is definitely not our comfort zone all the time. Jesus knows that. But what he wants us to do is to have the courage to go for him and to proclaim to people, to show to people that God is doing something wonderful and new through Jesus, transforming people's lives. It's a message of hope that God's future of blessing and forgiveness and healing and justice and abundance of goodness is growing in the world. That is our message, the message of God's coming kingdom. And we're going to people and saying, look, it's here. It's right here with Jesus. Do you want to be part of it? Do you want a piece of God's future? God's future kingdom? That's our message that we take out to people as lambs among wolves. The encouraging thing about this is that right at the beginning of the chapter, it says this, that although he was sending them out as sheep amongst wolves, he was intending to catch up with them. He was sending them to the places where he was going to be. He would be coming up behind. He would be coming to sort out the mess that they made of everything. I find that very encouraging, applying it to us. You know, we're being called by Christ to go out and get on with the mission and to make his kingdom known. And I know that people like me, we're going to make a complete hash of it. But Jesus goes with us. In fact, the resurrected Jesus goes in front of us. He goes before us. He's there already, like in the painting at the beginning. Jesus is with us in this mission, and we are joining him in his mission, in his harvesting work. So Jesus sends us out. And he empowers us to do what we need to do. I love the story, Easter Day in John's Gospel, where all the disciples are hidden away in a room with the doors locked. And Jesus appears in the room and says, "Peace be with you." And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." So Jesus was joining in with God the Father's mission, and Jesus then says, now you lot are joining in with me in my mission, which is the Father's mission. And Jesus gives them the gift of the Spirit. Jesus empowers us for our mission. He doesn't leave us alone to make it the best we can of it. He gives us what we need, and he is with us in the mission. The challenge is then to join Jesus in the harvest field, not to be a come and see church, but to be a go and be church. To go and be God's people in our daily lives, in the places where we live, in the places where we work, in the places where we spend our leisure time, in the communities that we're part of. We are to be there making a difference and showing that God's kingdom of hope and love is growing, to bring hope to people who are hopeless, to bring love to people who lack love. And he empowers us to do this. We had the Toblerone with all the different aspects of the work of this church. All of those pieces of the Toblerone need to have people supporting them so that they can be that outward going ministry, that mission part of the life of our church, into every part of the life of this community. So there is our own personal life and where we spend our time during the week, where we need to be witnesses for Christ. And then there's also the things that we want to do together as a church family, the things that we're committed to and that we pray for and that we also go for as people. One of those, of course, is our superstars, which I was privileged to visit a few months ago. And it was great to see all those families there having a great time, just enjoying one another's company and worshipping God and learning about what the Christian gospel is. And a huge team of people is needed to do that. And they're all working really hard, getting it all set up first thing in the morning and making the breakfast and serving it and then putting it all away again at the end. It requires a huge amount of harvesting work. There's a great role for people in superstars. If you have a family and young children, you may want to go along to superstars for the benefit of your own family. That's great. But why not think of it also as going to be part of that team of harvesting? Go and make it your job to sit alongside some of those families who have no church background at all and get to know them and befriend them and make them feel that they know somebody who's a Christian. That will enable them to understand what it's all about. You will be a witness to them. Are there ways in which we can do that? Or perhaps when this cafe project that's been thought about for Shirley High Street, perhaps you can be involved in that as a way that you can connect with people who have no other experience of meeting Christian people by being part of the cafe and its project. I'm sure there are lots of other things that we are doing here in this church that reach out beyond the boundaries of the church to the 40% that were up on the screen. We need to think how we can all be involved in the harvest, because the workers are not enough. But Jesus wants us all to play our part. Jesus says, pray for this harvest and go. And it's worth remembering that later in the chapter, the bit I didn't read out, when these lot get back, the 70 or the 72, when they get back, they are full of joy. They're not saying, oh, I've got blisters on my feet and I've got bruised where that person hit me on the head with a stick. And they're full of joy because they've seen God at work transforming people's lives. And it seems to me that this is the joy that we have as Christians, the privilege that we have of joining Jesus in his mission and then discovering what a joy it is to do his work. At times it's tough, it's hard work, it's sacrificial work. It means getting up early to do things or staying up late to do things. But ultimately, it is a ministry that brings us great joy because we see the kingdom of God growing. We see the harvest being brought home. We see that person, that family that were going to messy church coming along the road and saying, we're singing the songs when we go back home. That's the joy of serving in Jesus' mission. To be that go and be church is the challenge this morning. Jesus says, be ready to go, pray and go. Amen.
Great. Thank you very much, Paul, for coming and sharing with us. And we're going to be